Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. Don't judge me. Yes, that's the title of our episode today from the Director of Digital Marketing here on campus, Reverend Kevin Brzezinski. But while you're not judging, allow me to offer you something that you can judge. Indiana Bible College Connect. That's right, high school juniors and seniors, IBC Connect is your chance to judge and see what Bible College is all about. March 7th, 8th, and 9th, 2019 is your opportunity to visit campus, classes, chapel, and more. Registration is still open, so make sure and visit indianabiblecollege.org/connect to register and find out more information. But right now, don't judge me.
He's a good God. You can be seated. Just a couple addendums. I don't mean to correct you, Brother Galleon, but Ryan Culp has been complimenting this series. It's not even published yet. I don't know how he's complimenting it, but and one other thing I'll say: if you're going to connect with one of the Brzezinskis, connect with the friendly one. She's sitting by Sister Galleon right there. You'll have a better experience, and you will be edified for it. In Jesus' name. So, Brother Galleon, you're right. This is not the first time I've spoken in chapel. My first time was back in the lecture hall. It was my first year here, and they asked me to come and speak. So I did all the praying I could in about 6 hours' time and showed up. And I felt to give my testimony. And I gave my testimony in about 5 minutes, covered 5 years of my life in about 5 minutes, and sat back down. And they didn't know what to do with the rest of the time. So just today, if I can get maybe 15 minutes, we are going to be better off. So that's what I want to do. But I am just so privileged to work here at Indiana Bible College. This has been, I love this place. And it was a dream of mine to work here someday, to do this. To do what I'm doing now, isn't that wild? That God just allowed it to happen. It was a dream that God had to do it, and he opened the door, and I'm so thankful to be here. So because I do want to get my 15 minutes time in, I've got a few thank yous that I want to make. First of all, thank you to Brother and Sister Galleon for honestly being the best campus pastors in the, not just presently, but in the history of Bible colleges ever, the best campus pastors, hands down, hands down. Amen. I give honor, of course, to my pastor and the president here, Brother Mooney. He's one of those gentlemen that I don't think I fully appreciate who he is and what he is, but maybe by the time I'm 50 and 60, I'll have just a bit more of a clue. I give honor to Brother Robert L. Rodenbusch. He's taught me so much in a short time. Brother R.K. Rodenbusch can't be here today, but I know we all appreciate him being here each chapel. He's such an amazing individual. He's taught me so much. Brother Kilman's not here, but I want to give Brother Kilman recognition. Brother Henderson, the man does a lot for this school. The man does a lot for this school. I appreciate you. My lovely wife, I love you, and I see back here, Uncle T.O. Kevin is waving at Sammy. He's his first time hearing me, so in Jesus' name. And I want to give special recognition publicly to Brother Jim Sliva. I don't think I'd be here today without Brother Sliva. He baptized me in August of 2006. We've been on adventures together. You help disciple me, Brother Sliva. You help get me into this thing, and I wouldn't be here without you, and I thank you. All right, so musicians, if you would come, I think I'm about done. Can't do that. If you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Is that, where is that? 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 5. It says this, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God." So I want to speak to you on this title today, "Don't Judge Me." Do you guys feel like you have, can you do this for me? Just humor me. Turn to your neighbor and be real like attitude-like and say, "Don't judge me." Yes. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We honor you today. Jesus, we ask you to have your way. We trust you. We need you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Nobody, Brother Henderson, likes to feel judged. Nobody likes to feel judged. And I think maybe music people are more this way. I don't know how music people do it, but you guys have juries. Can we talk about juries? And you're just being judged. You have tryouts for different groups, and it's just like you're singing and you're just being judged. I'm glad I'm a preacher because I don't have to do that. But being judged is never, never a fun thing. It's always a difficult thing. And if we look at the book of Corinthians, this is the setting that Paul is dealing with. He is evidently needing to defend himself because these people that he helped win to the Lord were critiquing and judging his apostolic authority. So it doesn't feel good, and this whole letter that Paul is writing to the Corinthians is in response, saying, how is it, kind of to paraphrase it, how is it that we could start in the Spirit, we could be filled with the Spirit, and now you've devolved into critiquing over fleshly matters? And no doubt Paul is hurt, no doubt he's disappointed, but he does it in love. And the fact of the matter is that we can judge, and we need to judge in our everyday lives. We judge on 1,000 different things in 1,000 different ways, and we need to judge. But the reality is that there's no true judgment without the Spirit of God. You can't really judge a thing based on the flesh. You can try, and you do, but at the end of the day, it's what God says that stands. But the fact of the matter remains that people are going to judge you. You dear, blessed folks who are going to get up on Friday night and sing solos, I hate to tell you, people are going to judge you. You judge preachers. You're judging me. People judge. It's what they do. It's not good or bad. It's just what people do. But the reality is that all of our judging by the flesh and in the flesh, God says it's not what matters. Paul says it's a very small thing that I should be judged of man's judgment. In fact, I'm careful to even judge myself. So let's put it like this. I'm a really deep individual, so stay with me on this. But you would not judge an orange on its ability to make applesauce. You guys hanging with me? You would not do that. Why would you not do that? Because they're different things. I would not judge an orange on its ability to be made into a caramel apple. It's ridiculous, right? They're different categories of things, but it's the same kind of weirdness when we get all caught up in judging things by the flesh when we're here to do a spiritual ministry. They're different categories. They're not even on the same plane of thing. They're a totally different thing. And yet we try to do it. So people will judge your playing and your appearance and your preaching, your leadership, your decisions, your personality. And guess what? This is the stinging thing, Brother Galleon. They may be 100% right with the facts that they have. With the facts that they have. We can look at each other. We don't do this, of course. But we could look at each other and we could look at so-and-so and make a scathing but accurate assessment of their personality. And it could be absolutely true but incomplete because we don't have all the facts, because there's another factor in you and in me, which is called the factor of the Holy Ghost. It's the factor of what God is doing in someone's life. So I can look at you and I can say, I can judge you man to man, and I can say, they're not measuring up. I just don't see how this. They have flaws here. I see their flaws there. But you don't know what God is doing and what God intends to do with them. To say it one way, you don't have all the facts in the matter because you're judging in one category and God is judging in this category. Be careful to judge one another. We don't walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. If we believe the historian Josephus, he said that Moses, by the age of 40, was already a victorious general. Maybe true, may not be true. It's what Josephus said. But Stephen, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, said this, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." Sounds like a pretty, guy I don't want to mess with. He seems pretty connected, pretty professional, pretty experienced, pretty strong in his flesh. It goes on to say, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." So Moses was not a loser. Before Moses left Egypt, the man was not a loser. The guy had it together. Educated in the most powerful culture and nation of that day. Probably a general. Grew up in Pharaoh's house. This guy not only had all of that going for him, but he understood something else. He understood that he had a God-given destiny. Is that in the text? He had a sense that he was going to deliver his people. So let me get this straight. He's talented, yes. He's the right man, yes. He's got the right mission. He's got a lot going for him. But he does it in his own flesh and in his own strength and in the wrong time. And so what happens to Moses is that he flees to the wilderness for 40 years as a stranger in the land of Midian, working with his father-in-law for 40 years. He doesn't own his own flocks. He doesn't have much to show for those 40 years, just being broken. Maybe we could say that he learned a certain lesson in Midian, but I think it was more like this. He learned an unlesson, if you would go with me there. It's a little bit of liberty in the text, but I think his biggest lesson was just unlearning to trust in himself, unlearning everything he had learned in Egypt, being broken from his trust in himself, being broken from his flesh, being reduced to somebody he didn't even know who he was anymore. And I believe that's true because finally, at the end of 40 years, God shows up and re-delivers the mission to Moses. And the first words that Moses says is, Who am I? Who am I that I'm going to do this? Who am I that you're asking me to go back into Egypt and try to do this? I've been being broken by you, God, for the last 40 years. And who am I that I'm going to now, I feel weaker than I was before. I thought I knew who I was, and now I'm not even sure. I've just come to the end of myself, and now here you show up, God, and say, let's go do this. Who am I to do this? Moses was deconstructed to the place where God could finally begin to use him in the way God wanted to use him. And we pick on Moses, but can you blame Moses? I can't blame Moses at all. He was a deconstructed individual. He was brought to the end of himself, but that's when God stepped in to say, I want to use you. But here's the tricky thing about flesh. So Moses, back in Egypt, he was probably pretty confident, had it all together, tries to do things with his own strength. And now Moses over on this side is like, I can't do anything. How am I going to do this? And this is what your flesh is like. This is what my flesh is like. Brother Culp, even you have bipolar flesh. Maybe not you, just the rest of us. But this is what my flesh does. I don't know about you. But some days, my dear wife can attest to this, some days I'm set to go running 4 times a week, and I do. I do. I show up to the gym 4 times a week. I run for 30 minutes, and I'm like, I'm going to get this together. And Brother Henderson, some weeks I'm eating bowls of ice cream because my flesh is bipolar like your flesh is bipolar. Or to put it one way, sometimes I want to live till I'm 120 and take care of myself. Sometimes I just like bacon and cheese, and I just want to eat it. Yeah. So my point is, you can't trust your silly flesh. It's a goofy thing. It's a weird thing. Your flesh wants to live forever and kill itself in 5 minutes' time. It's goofy. So maybe to give you this example, when we feel like we're doing good with something, like, I just killed that MSA. I sang that solo so good. Your flesh wants to tell you, oh, you are the man. You really are good. You're better than those people. You're so good, you should probably stop putting the work in, and you should take this on the road. You're that good. And then when you fail, your flesh flips around and says, you are the biggest loser I've ever seen in my life. You need to quit. You need to lay in bed for 3 weeks, eat Cheetos, watch Netflix, just give up. Because your flesh is crazy. Your flesh is bipolar. Your flesh can't be trusted. But that's why the word says that we need to cut off the flesh. We need to mortify the flesh. We need to get rid of its influence and its voice in our life. Now, let me help somebody, because this helped me, Brother Sliva. When I was first getting into church and trying to get serious, I read that in the Bible that we need to mortify the flesh, and I thought, okay, so I need to fast 7 times a day. Wait, I mean 7 days a week. 7 times a day wouldn't be that hard. I probably fast 7 times a day now, intermittent fasting between my meals. So you got it. Yeah, some of you are quicker than others, but it's okay. But I thought that, Brother Sliva, I needed to cut off the flesh myself. I thought that I needed to pray more, until pray 12 hours, fast all the time. And I'm not against disciplines. I'm not against disciplines, but how can you cut off the flesh with the flesh? How can you limit your flesh by trying hard in your flesh? It's kind of like fighting fire with fire. It doesn't really work. But here's what Romans says. In Romans 8 and 13, it says this: through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. What that tells me is that it's not, I'm for disciplines. I'm not for indulging the flesh, so I'm for limiting the flesh. But you don't mortify the flesh by the flesh. You mortify the flesh by the Spirit. You activate the Holy Ghost in your life, and that's what combats this force of flesh. That's what mortifies the bipolar voice of pride and performance and all that junk. You activate the Holy Ghost. I'm great. I'm terrible. Mortify the voice of the flesh by the Spirit. I did great at IBC Live. I'm awesome. I did terrible at IBC Live. I want to crawl in my bed. I did great at MS. I mean, cut. There's another way to live. There's another plane to live on that is beyond the bipolar flesh. God, you know what? I may not be the best, but I'm going to do it to your glory. And you get the glory. God, my talent, it's not much, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to preach so you get the glory. Moses said, who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should go accomplish this mission? So God, of course, being a Freudian psychologist, knew that Moses needed a boost in his self-esteem. So said, okay, Moses, come on, man. You're my man. You're pretty good. Don't be so down on yourself, Moses. Remember Egypt? You were the man in Egypt? Come on, buddy. No. God did not try to boost Moses' self-esteem. He said, this is what God said. I'll go with you. Moses, I'll go with you. And when Moses asked, what is your name so I can tell the Egyptians, God said, I am. I am that I am is the one who's going with you. I am that I am is the one who is sending you. I will be what I will be. What you need me to be, I will be. That's what that means. What you need me to be, I will be. I am that I am is going with you. So if I could put it this way, at IBC Live this Friday, God is not looking for what you can do. And it's not for you. Believe it or not, it's not for you. When I was in 2007, Brother Sleva, my uncle took me. You baptized me at the end of 2006. My uncle brought me to an IBC Live in 2007. We sat up in the balcony. Sister Jessica DiGiovanni was singing on that album. It was He Knows. And as one of the songs played, I was fighting in my mind. I was fighting in my spirit because I knew what I had been. I knew everything I had done. I knew my past. And I was struggling with the idea that I could really be forgiven, that I could actually be filled with the Holy Ghost, that I could actually get back into a right relationship with God. I was wrestling with it. And it was in the balcony at that IBC Live that I felt, as they were singing and playing, I felt the presence of God. And I know this sounds cliche to us because we're used to it, but for me, just to feel the clean and powerful and loving presence of God just sweep around me, I don't know how to explain it, but in that moment, I just knew God would have me back. I just knew He still cared about me. I knew He still loved me. So what I'm trying to say is the fact that you are awesome or terrible, maybe God's just trying to do something for somebody else through what you are going to do. Maybe it's better that we come to the end of ourself and that the Lord just does what the Lord wants to do. It's really not about us. Although He has chosen us. He really has chosen us. And in a certain way, it's not about us, but in another way, God's doing it all through us, which blows my mind, imperfect though we are. Imperfect though we are, He does it through us. So here's what I want to do. In my ministry, in my life, I just want to get out of the way. You guys, we're here in Bible College in part because we want to improve our craft. Craft is absolutely a part of it, but there's something so much bigger and so much beyond that. craft, and people are going to judge your craft, and that's okay. People are going to look at your performance, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, we are lifting him up for his glory so that he can do what? Do something that's beyond us. Look, I want to be more, Brother Sliva, than a tree that looks good. It's very green. It has leaves going everywhere, and people walk by and say, wow, what a beautiful tree. It's beautiful. And Jesus walks by and curses a fig tree because it's not producing fruit. It's not feeding other people. It's not living a life that's sucking things up in order to give it away. I believe that what we're doing at IBC Live is not for us. It's not a bunch of green leaves. I believe that you all are in the right place with your motivations, with your consecration, with your prayer. I don't believe you want to do it just to say, look at my beautiful green leaves. I believe you guys are in it to feed a hungry heart. Just a taste of the Holy Ghost, because it can change your life. Just one touch of the Holy Ghost. When I was here as a student, Brother Sliva, I was praying in the basement of B building. We used to have a little prayer room there. And I was wrestling with who I was, what in the world God was going to do with me. Nobody here wrestles with their call and what God wants them to do. And are you sure, God? Are you sure about me? No, I think we all do wrestle with that. And I was wrestling with it, praying, God, what? I don't even know who I am anymore. I moved away from everything I knew. I moved here, and I don't even know what I am anymore. God, what are you doing with me? What do you want to accomplish through me? Who am I even? And God, if I ever heard God speak to me, I heard God tell me this. You are not who you say you are, but you are who I say you are. I just want to tell somebody that same thing. I don't know what you even judge yourself to be. You can't stop people from judging you, but it's not a big thing. But even however you judge yourself, you too are a man. You too are flesh. And sometimes even how you judge your own self is flat out wrong. Paul said, I judge not my own self. I don't even take my own opinion of myself too seriously, because it's God who judges me. It's God who has for you what you are. If the musicians could come, I'm going to try to close up and get out of here. You can't even judge your own life accurately. Brother Alex Perry, you know yourself better than anybody else knows you. You know your flaws. You know your faults. So your judgment of yourself, you might be tempted to say, ouch, I know what I really am. But you can't even trust yourself without taking into account the God factor in your life, without taking into account what God is doing through the Spirit. We can be 100% right and 100% wrong in judging ourselves. So maybe today you're battling that voice in your ministry, as you approach IBC Live, in your calling, whatever it may be. You're battling this voice that says, God, who am I to do what you're asking me to do? God, I can, playing notes, maybe I can get up and play notes. But how do I lead with the anointing? How do I sing with the anointing? You kind of have to abandon yourself to the Spirit. How do I lead in that sense? Who am I to lead people in worship and get up and testify to people who are older than me and proclaim the Word of God? Who am I? And all I want to say to somebody is, you are who God says you are. And you're not going to go alone. You're not going to go alone. You're not going to step in to IBC Live alone, because I truly believe that your hearts are in the right place, that you're praying and consecrating. I don't believe we have people here in a wrong frame of mind. I believe you're consecrating yourselves. And you're doing it not for yourselves either, but you're doing it for other people. And that's the kind of mission that God wants to get behind. When you're ministering not for yourself, but for them, and you're doing it God's way, I am that I am is going to go with you. He's going to help you. He's going to anoint you beyond what you can do in the flesh. He's going to do what only God can do, which is bring the anointing and bring the touch and bring the help. If there's one thing I felt to say to you guys today, it's that you're not going to go alone. The Lord's going to back you up and be with you and help you. You've come to the end of yourself, that's okay. Because the Lord's going to step in as soon as the point where you end, the Lord's going to step in and make up the difference. Let me say one more thing. I'm going to turn it over to you, Brother Galleon. Performing in ministry, music, preaching, getting up to perform is difficult. But you don't need to carry that weight in your flesh. You don't need to put all that pressure on your flesh like it all hinges on you. You don't need to do that to yourself. The Holy Ghost is going to help somebody. The Holy Ghost is going to step in and anoint you beyond what your flesh could do. People are going to judge, they can judge, but you're ministering to the Lord through the Spirit. These altars are open. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Galleon in Jesus' name.
Why don't we just stand to our feet? Come on, I think the Holy Ghost challenged us today. We need to stop relying upon our flesh. Because when we rely upon our flesh, we do have performance anxieties, but we need to let the Spirit begin to permeate through. Come on, everything he was saying, I don't know if your mind was racing. My mind was racing because scenario after scenario, time after time, where I've trusted in my flesh and my ability. Come on, I've tried to discredit God's grace and his mercy through me judging myself. I've tried to say things I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. It's impossible. He can't do this. Come on, I've let doubt enter into my heart. I've let disbelief. Come on, we need to just turn it over to him right now. Somebody step out in the Holy Ghost. Somebody right now just say, Lord, I want to trust you with this. Come on, I want to trust you with this. Come on, if you're here today and you struggle with guilt and you're judging yourself and you can't accept forgiveness and you can't embrace God's grace. Come on, I want you to just challenge yourself.
Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: Biblical Studies, Worship Studies, and our newest major, Missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.